If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. And in Luke, chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 this morning. Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. It says, then drew near unto him, and of course the him is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for this opportunity this morning to look into it. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would allow the Holy Ghost to minister to us. And I pray that everybody would receive a challenge today from the Word of God. Teach us the lesson you have for us out of the Scriptures today, and help us to be open, submissive, sensitive to your voice as you speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you give me the fullness of your Holy Spirit and help me to preach just the message that you want preached this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pastor, I love to preach the Bible from cover to cover. But I have to confess to you that I really enjoy preaching those portions of Scripture that tell us about God's great love for us. Because I'm like the little boy who was praying one day, and he said, dear God, I don't understand how you can love everyone. I have only one sister, and I have a hard time loving her. Well, I find it fascinating that God loves everyone. Now, almost every family has a member of their family that they call the black sheep. They refer to them as the black sheep because they live in such a way that it's difficult to love them at times. And the parable of the lost sheep is all about us loving the unlovable, the black sheep that has gone astray and no one seems to care about them. And part of the problem is that sometimes those of us who have been a Christian for a long time, we forget what it's like to be lost. And the truth is, it is terrible. It's a terrible thing to be lost, to have no hope beyond this life, to live without forgiveness and peace and joy, to never have experienced personally God's grace and mercy, to be under the wrath of God, and to be headed for hell. It is a terrible thing to be lost. But it is a wonderful thing when you are lost to know that someone cares for you and wants to help you. Now, over the years, I have preached from this chapter of the Bible many times. But mostly from verse 11 on, where it's the parable of the prodigal son. I've preached that one many, many times over the years. But I have not preached as often on the two parables that Jesus told before that in this chapter. And so this morning in this sermon, we will deal with the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now let's start by considering the lost sheep. One of the things you notice as you read through the four Gospels is that the Lord always stayed focused on reaching the lost. I mean, that's why he came, right? He tells us that in Luke 19, verse 10, where he says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord always stayed focused on reaching the lost. And because of his emphasis on reaching the lost, it is amazing that in some denominations and in some churches, they never talk about reaching the lost. They talk about their socials, their activities, their buildings, their membership, their budgets, but seldom do they really talk about reaching the lost for Christ. Years ago, I had a good friend who was a Nazarene pastor. He's in heaven now. But he was the pastor of the Woonsocket Church of the Nazarene, which is no longer there. I think it's an apartment building now, if I'm not mistaken. But every now and then, we would have lunch together. And one day, as we were having lunch, another Baptist pastor that I knew walked into the same restaurant. And we invited him to sit down and have lunch with us. And after a while, us two Baptist pastors got to talking about soul winning. And that Nazarene pastor kind of sat back and listened to the conversation. And then after lunch, as we were traveling back, the Nazarene pastor and I had driven together to the restaurant. After lunch, as we were traveling back, he said this to me. He said, "I enjoyed hearing you and the other Baptist pastor talk about winning souls to the Lord." And he then said something that caught my attention. He said, "When we Nazarene pastors get together, we never talk about that." Now, to me, that's shocking. Because this should be the business of every Bible-believing church and every Bible-believing pastor, and for that matter, every Bible-believing Christian. But as he said, the pastors in his group never talked about reaching the lost for Christ. And to me, that's horrible. One thing the devil has been very successful in doing is derailing denominations and churches from the purpose for which they were created. We are left here in this world after our conversion to Christ in order to be a light for Christ. If you search the scriptures, you'll notice that the Lord was always about reaching the lost when he was here on earth. Always. For example, in this parable, the Pharisees and scribes grumbled about his associating with the lost of that day. There in verse 2, it says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.'" You see, the lost people knew that Jesus cared for them. And lost people know if we care for them. Now, I can't prove this, but I am personally convinced that the reason many Christians have never won a lost person to Christ is because they have never convinced a lost person that they love and care about them. Those sinners knew that the Lord Jesus loved them, and that's why they drew near to hear what he had to say to them, as we're told in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They loved to be in his presence, and he loved to be in their presence. And this is something that the Pharisees and the scribes would never be caught doing. The Pharisees and scribes could not get beyond their biases. But the Lord reached out to everyone. You know what the Pharisees and scribes were? The Pharisees and scribes were a bunch of religious snobs, is what they were. Again, look at what they said there. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They felt like they were above doing such a thing. They felt that they were better than those sinners. But while the religious leaders were looking at others with contempt, the Lord looked on them with compassion. In verses 3 and 4, it says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And even the Pharisees and scribes had to admit that, yes, that's what they would do if one lost sheep went astray. They would put everything on hold until they found that sheep. And what is the Lord saying? He's saying that when one sheep is lost, the most important thing at that time is to find that sheep. And today, our churches are filled with Christians who will tell you they know they should be concerned about reaching the lost for Christ, but they don't have the time. And the reason they don't have the time to reach out to lost sinners with the good news of Christ is because it's not important to them. Because the truth is, we make time for the things that are important to us. It's like guys who love to play golf. Sometimes they will ask me if I want to go and play golf with them. And I have a stock answer when somebody asks me that. I ask them this: how much will you pay me? Because playing golf to me is not important. Now, playing golf may be important to them. And by the way, let me just tell you, I'm not preaching against golf this morning. Don't take me wrong here, okay? If I'm going to preach against something, I got a lot more important things to preach against than golf, let me tell you. But if you like to play golf, that's great. But I don't play golf because to me, it's not important. The only time I even ever watch golf on TV is when I want to take a nap on Sunday afternoon, because golf puts me right to sleep. Right? It's just not important to me. But for somebody who likes to play golf, it's important, and they make time for it. And my point is, we make time for those things in our life that are important. And the unforgiving spirit, and the unloving spirit of the Pharisees and scribes is what motivated the Lord to tell this parable of the lost sheep. What he's saying to you and I is, don't be like them. Don't be like them. They don't care about the lost sheep. Be compassionate. Be a compassionate Christian who is concerned about reaching the lost. In other words, be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Now, the second parable that we want to consider this morning is the parable of the lost coin. And this parable of the lost coin has a powerful message. Look at verses 8 through 10 again. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, that brings us to a very important question. Why won't some Christians seek to win the lost? Certainly, the souls of mankind are valuable. In this parable, we're told that if a woman lost a valuable coin, she would put everything on hold to look for that valuable coin. We would all agree about that. But aren't souls more valuable than coins? Now, I'm going to say something that is cold, but this is the truth. I don't expect to hear a lot of amens when I say this. In fact, what I'm preparing to say may make some of you so mad at me that you want to pick up a songbook and throw it at me. Now, please don't. Just remember, I'm only the messenger boy, okay? If you don't like what I'm going to say, talk to God about it because he told me to tell you. But fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to tell you something you need to hear. You ready? The reason that many professing Christians have never won a soul to Christ is because they really don't care that their family and friends are going to spend eternity in hell. They just don't care. Now you may say, preacher, that's a terrible thing to say to this congregation. But the truth is, the same thing can be said to most congregations in our day and age. They really don't care that their family and friends are going to spend eternity in hell. That is, if they don't turn to Christ in faith for salvation. Now, I want to prove this is true. And here's how I can prove this is true. The way to learn about people is not pay attention to what they say. Pay attention to what they do. Because people do what they consider to be important. We have Christians today that will pray for God to give them a new job, a new car, new clothes, and good health, but they very seldom, if ever, pray for their lost family members and lost friends and lost neighbors and lost co-workers to come to faith in Christ. And they don't pray that way because they really don't care that those people are going to spend eternity in hell. Here in verse 8, look at it again. It says, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Now, I would imagine that every one of us at one time or another has lost our keys. I know I have, numbers of times. And when I lose my keys, I stop what I'm doing and put everything on hold, and I start searching for those keys. Why? Because when I lose my keys, the most important thing for me to do is to search and find those keys. And when it comes to the souls of men, the devil has successfully derailed many churches by causing soul winning to become something that is seldom even mentioned in church. And all I can say is this: God help the church when soul winning, when proclaiming the sin cleansing, life changing, devil defeating, death defying gospel of Christ is no longer important to us. When reaching the lost for Christ becomes unimportant to us, then we have forfeited our right to be a church. We forfeited it. But thankfully, this parable teaches us that Christ is a seeking Savior. Notice verses 5 and 6 again here. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which I have lost. The good shepherd calls his friends together, and they throw a party because he has found the sheep that was lost. And look how the Lord closes that parable in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The happiest churches on the face of the earth are churches that are reaching the lost for Christ. Someone said, funny how we call Jesus our brother, but find it hard to introduce him to our family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors. Well, the Lord does not think it's funny that many churches have been completely derailed and that there are multitudes today that are headed to an eternity in hell, and that many Christians will not even lift a finger to help them. They'll talk to them about anything and everything. They'll talk to them about politics and music and finances and movies and sports and the latest headlines. They will talk to them about anything and everything, but will never talk to them about the most important issue of all, and that is their salvation. Their need to repent of their sins and put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness and eternal life. Those Pharisees that were complaining about the Lord eating and spending time with sinners ought to be ashamed of themselves, because they had no compassion for the lost whatsoever. And in closing, I say this. May God help us not to be like the Pharisees and scribes who preached only condemnation. Instead, may God help us to be like Jesus. And yes, warn people about their coming condemnation, but may we also be compassionate enough to tell them that there is a way to escape that condemnation. May we be compassionate enough to tell them what Jesus said over in John 5:24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The greatest need of every person in the entire world is to hear the gospel and believe the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day so we could have everlasting life, and how that by calling out to him and receiving him as our Savior, we can have absolute assurance of heaven. Hearing that good news and believing that good news is the greatest need of every person in the entire world. And may God help us to do our part in telling them that good news. When Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," he didn't just mean the pastor or the missionary or the evangelist or the deacon. You know who he was talking to? He was talking to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the challenge to our hearts. Lord, help us to remember that all around us, every single day, are people who desperately need Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we know him in our heart. But there are a lot of people whose lives are miserable, they have no peace, no joy, because they've never experienced your forgiveness. They've never experienced your gift of eternal life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful and telling others about Christ. Lord, help us to remember that when we leave church this morning, we are entering the mission field. And all around us are people who are hurting, who are hopeless, who are heading for hell, and we have the life-changing message they need to hear. Help us to be faithful in telling them. Help us to let our light shine bright for you in this dark world. Lord, we pray that you'd give us courage, that you'd give us boldness, that you'd give us compassion for reaching the lost for Christ. Help us with your strength and power to do our very best in spreading the good news. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think, Betty, I'm going to change the hymn number to 628.